The future of a medevac insurance company is in limbo, and a cyclist in Yukon is pursued by a wolf. It's a KHNS Local News. I'm Marga Friednauer. Those stories and more up next. Medevac insurance provider Apollo Meditrans is not accepting new clients or renewing policies that have recently expired because it did not renew its operating license through the state. Apollo provides insurance for medevac services, an insurance held by many Southeast and rural Alaska residents. Medevac services can cost tens of thousands of dollars from rural communities to hospitals in Juneau, Anchorage, or Seattle. And medevac services are often not covered under regular health plans. Apollo offers coverage for $125 a year for a family. The policies are underwritten by Unified Life Insurance Company. But the company's license through the State Department of Insurance is currently inactive because the company hasn't filed for renewal. Anyone with an active policy is still covered, but policies that are expiring soon are not being renewed and new policies are not being issued. Marty Hester is the Deputy Director of the Alaska Division of Insurance.
We don't have a set time frame. You know, they have to file, and right now it's an incomplete filing on their part. So, you know, once we have all of the information from them, then we'll be able to go through that and determine if the license should be reactivated or not.
State Representative Jonathan Christ Tompkins heard from constituents in Haines about the situation. He said he's talked at length with Hester. He's also tried to contact Apollo, but his phone calls have not been returned.
AMT did not renew its license for reasons I don't know. And AMT, again, won't answer my calls, so I don't know why AMT didn't renew its license.
Christ Tompkins said there is little he can do to intervene between a private company and the state when the company is choosing not to renew its license. Separate from the license renewal issue is a membership program through Apollo that has been dissolved by the state. Under the same company umbrella is a limited liability corporation called Apollo Meditrans Association. This division of the company sold memberships, which covered all forms of medical emergency transportation, not just medevacs. The state division of insurance discovered earlier this year that those memberships were being sold without the correct licensing. The state ordered the company and owner, Dr. Eric Sterling, to dissolve the program, refund all fees paid by the 20 Alaskans in the program, and pay a penalty. Hester said the two different cases within the same company have caused confusion.
You know, empathetic to that there's two names out there that are very close to each other with two different issues going on, so I understand where the confusion can be coming from.
Apollo company officials could not be reached for comment. The company's website says it is temporarily holding off on accepting new applications and suggests customers call the company for more information. While Apollo is a prevalent medevac insurance company in Haines and Skagway, Airlift Northwest also has an air care membership program for medevac coverage. Airlift Northwest, as part of the University of Washington Medicine, is one of two companies that provides medevac services in Southeast. Guardian Flight is the other. The Chilkat Valley News has more on this story in its Thursday paper. A cyclist had the race of his life Saturday in Yukon as he pedaled to outrun a wolf chasing him along the Alaska Highway. About 100 kilometers west of Watson Lake, Mac Holland's two companions stopped to fix some bike equipment, leaving him to ride ahead. When he heard breathing behind him, he thought his teammates had caught up to him. He looked back to see a wolf pursuing him. Here's Holland in his own words telling the story to the CBC in Whitehorse.
We were riding with two buddies up to Prudhoe, and the two of them had stopped to tighten up something on one of their racks, and we were, I guess, about 60 miles west of Watson Lake, and about 5 minutes after they dropped back, I heard a sound behind me kind of breathing, and I thought one of them had caught up, and I turned over and looked to my right, and there was a wolf just running along right beside my bike, right behind my bike, and it was kind of wild. I wasn't expecting it, so my first thought was, wow, that's a huge dog. And right after I had that thought, though, he lunged forward and snapped up at my foot, and so I switched my bike up into high gear and kind of got the adrenaline shot, and I reached up. I've got bear spray in my handlebar bag, and I sprayed him in the face, and he backed up about 20 feet, and I thought he was going to stop, and I thought, oh, what a wild story. You know, I'm glad that's over. And then he kept running again and came back up. to the back of my bike and actually attacked the back of my bike and ended up ripping the bag that I carry my tent stakes and poles in, ripped it off the back of my bike and spilled it all over the highway. And so at that point, I turned around and sprayed him again, and he backed up about 20 feet. And I just kept pedaling and pedaling and pedaling and was thinking, wow, this is, you know, he's not going away. And so every time he would come up, he a couple times just kept coming up towards my bike to attack it again. I just kept putting a quick spray, a bear spray, you know, in the air behind me, and that would slow him down. And then I heard a car coming around the corner, and I was really relieved. I thought, okay, great, if I can just keep him far enough back and go fast enough, they'll stop and I'll jump in and it's over. And this 18-wheeler came around the corner, and he slowed down. I thought, okay, great, the wolf's, you know, 20, 30 feet back, I can probably do this. And he slowed down, looked at me, looked at the wolf, and then just sped back up and drove off. And that actually ended up happening with four separate cars. Some folks pointed, one car stopped and took pictures, and they could just kept going, though. All I was thinking is, oh, I've seen all these shows, and wolves just run their prey till they get tired, and then they, you know, then they get them. And I came around this corner, and there was a hill, and I just thought, oh, you know, this is it. And so I just started, you know, racing through my head, what am I going to do, what am I going to do? And I guess the only thought I had was that I can just get off my bike and kind of squat behind it, and I've got, you know, half a can of bear spray left, and that'll have to do it. And right at that moment, another RV came around the corner, and then I just got myself in the center of the road, and then he actually sped up and then just went right in front of me and kind of parked at a 45 right in front of me, just slammed on the brakes. It was kind of funny. I ran to the back door of the RV and it was locked, and I was actually in the process of trying to jump up through one of their windows, just screaming, and, you know, I'm sure it's sounding great. And the guy threw open the passenger side door, and I jumped in there. I shut the door, and I looked in the rearview mirror, and right when the door shut, the wolf jumped on my bike and started attacking my tent bag again. And at that point, a bunch of other cars pulled up and were honking at it, and it was just sitting over my bike. Like, I think, you know, I thought maybe it was a killer. I don't know what it thought it was, but it was just sitting there, and people were honking and yelling, and finally someone got out and threw a metal water bottle and hit it in the head. And it ran off.
That's Matt Collin, a bicyclist from Idaho, telling his story to the CBC in Whitehorse about how he pedaled to outrun a wolf that chased him along the Alaska Highway near Watson Lake on Saturday. You can read more of Holland's story and his bike journey at his website at pointtobay.com. He also has a Facebook page of the same name. We've linked to that story from the CBC on our KHNS News Facebook page. If you live here, you know her name, and she knows yours. If you've lived here long enough, she's probably even written about you. And if that's the case, then this week, thousands of folks are reading about you in Heather Lendy's 2005 book, If You Lived Here, I'd Know Your Name. That's because her book is number 17 on the New York Times bestselling list for the week of July 21st. The list is specific to nonfiction ebooks or books downloaded on e-readers. And because of the prevalence of e-readers, that's a big deal. According to Janine Allen with the Haynes Library, that means people all across the country are reading about Lendy's take on life in Haynes this week.
It means she's got a pretty big national audience right now. It means a lot of people, you know, whether they read the books or not, on their Kindle now, there's like the whole world of Haynes is, you know, sitting there in their Kindle waiting.
When it first came out, the book made other notable lists, like the one for Pacific Northwest authors and an indie booksellers list. And it made the nonfiction New York Times list once, but much further down, around number 50. It may seem random that a book published in 2005 would just now appear on the list, but Lendy's publisher Algonquin promoted the book on a list of great destination ebooks for July. Of the seven books listed, Lendy's was the only one to make the best-selling list off the bump of the promotion. When her publisher notified her Thursday, Lendy said she was surprised.
My first reaction was, you got to be kidding me. I mean, it's very exciting. And then I thought, well, my father will finally think that I know how to write books, you know, because he reads the New York Times.
But she said it was a little bittersweet. Lendy has always been a supporter of independent bookstores and local economies, and she credits those independent stores with helping her books sell and grow in popularity. So she was hesitant to wade into the e-reader frontier.
You know, at the same time, I know I have family members that are reading so much more because they have e-readers and they just are able to just so quickly click and download a book just while they're, as soon as a friend recommends it. So I know, you know, and as a writer, I mean, you want people to read what you write. And if that's the way they're doing it, you know, I have to be grateful for that too.
She recently discovered an e-reader called the Kobo. The device lets you register through an independent bookstore that partners with the company. So when you buy books, the money actually goes back to the bookstore you've registered with. Although Haynes' hometown author isn't doing much reading at the moment, she's ensconced herself in a secret location in town, which is easy to discover if you follow her blog, to work on her third book. Appearing on the New York Times bestselling list would seem to be a motivating boost to propel her toward her August 1st deadline, but she said it's actually a little daunting.
No, it didn't help at all because of too much pressure. I think, geez, there's too many expectations. I think I'd rather sort of just kind of slip quietly under the radar. I mean, I don't know. It's great on the one hand. On the other hand, it can be a little paralyzing.
If they asked me, I could write a book.
For KHNS News, I'm Margaret Friednauer. Special thanks to the CBC and Whitehorse for help with this report. Thanks for joining us for your local news on KHNS. We appreciate your support.